Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Once again, as we finish up, Lord willing, a series on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Katya, I'm thankful you finished that out. I know this is hard. You know, this brings to mind the fact that there are people that come into our fellowship at times and we don't quite know the situation of them, and sometimes we really need to be prayerful about what takes place as we are here. Today, this morning, I pray again that we grasp hold of this, because it's the need. We might not see it. In fact, we don't. I don't see it completely. The Lord does know, and so he gives us a command, and that's here in the scripture. The title of the message this morning is Prayer, God's Armor Empowered. It engages. It does its work. It's not just there to be observed. It's there to be used. Once again, we need God's wisdom. We do need God's wisdom. I need it in preaching it. We all need it in gathering, in embracing it and assimilating it. So let's pray. Lord, you know the need of every heart. I pray that as your word goes out, that need would be met. Lord, I am here surrendering myself. I want this to be you. I pray to stay out of the way. Lord, may your work be done. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get into reading the scripture, just an observation when it comes to our nation, when it comes to our culture, when it comes to us, we have to admit that roughly 4 years ago, our culture changed. Remember when we were all kind of laughing about COVID and how we were told, you know, stay home for 2 weeks so we can, you know, we can just kind of lower the curve? That's not what it was about. And I'm not here to talk about conspiracy theories. But things changed, and it has affected our culture. It's affected us. And we need to take that impact. We need to take it to the Lord and tell him, you know, Lord, I want you to be the sway in my life. I want you to be the power. I want you to be the wisdom. I don't want the world's wisdom. We need to pray ourselves out of whatever it is that Satan with his lies is trying to inundate us with. Time and time again. Again, there are things that this nation is embracing. It's in Romans 1. Not only embracing, but pushing, that even just decades ago would have landed people in prison. It's beyond disgusting. But these things need to be taken care of with the scripture in the prayer closet. I came across something that was interesting. How many of you, I've got to ask this, and please don't let your mind, I'm going to be talking about it for just a couple of moments, but I don't want you to linger on this. How many of you have heard of the Hercule Dercule movement? Okay. Now you've got something. And on March 20th of this year, in the Free Press, this was written. There is a movement known as the Herkel-Durkel movement. Great name. On TikTok and Instagram, it means to hit snooze, curl up under your duvet, and relax. To Herkel-Durkel is to be at rest, but not exactly sleeping, kind of like you're in a coma. Like, and probably some of you have heard about this, quiet quitting, where people will go to work, but they'll do the absolute minimum just to keep out of trouble, but they're not looking to go full force with their job. It's all about the soft life. They're not going to go in with a passion and a zeal. It's the bare minimum, what I have to do. The article continues. File all these online trends under the large umbrella of self-care. Self-care, which has become shorthand for just doing whatever you want to do. Self-care is like self-help, but with no goals or striving. Anything you do for yourself is inherently good, and you should never feel guilty about it. My Bible has something to say about that. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now see, here came COVID, and it's affected us. But the greater problem is the spiritual warfare that ever so subtly is seeking to get us, and I'm talking about believers, to elevate self. When the truth is, we need to be hearing the words of John the Baptist. He must increase. And that's in the emphatic. He must increase. I must decrease. At the end of the day, at the end of the age, what your business was doesn't matter, except for how you glorified God in it. But what really matters is the business of God. Now, we have been seeking by God's grace to recognize, to again assimilate, to think about, to embrace, to study, to weigh in our lives not only just the subject of the armor of God, but what our place in it is to obey it. Look at verse 10, Ephesians 6, once again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, and there's that word again, stand. That's a defensive posture. God has given us ground. We will not give it up to the wicked one. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. And folks, he's got them in a great way. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't. What do we wrestle against? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Who is it that is seeking to get mankind to be so foolish? There are situations right now, medical people are telling us, children, young adults are going back to doctors and saying, could you please put back on the body part you removed? Suicide has doubled in people like that that have embraced it. But the powers that be are not doing anything about it. Why? because they're following who we just read about. Now, that's who we need the armor of God for. That's who we need. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, having overcome, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And don't you let Satan fool you about this. There's darts with your name on them, with my name on them. I mean, if we don't catch that, it's not me. Preacher, he's more interested in you. No, I got news for you. He's got you in mind. That's not a thing of pride. And he knows exactly. He knows what you look at, and he can sense one way or another how you think, what's important. He knows exactly how to go after each and every one of us. We need the armor of God. Amen. Because if you're not convinced, I failed here. Something has failed. Let's continue. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the book that is in your lap, the Word of God. And here's our verse today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now listen to me. Prayer is not a piece of the armor. But you get to where you are leaving the prayer closet, the armor will start to come off. The armor will start to be set aside. It'll start to slip. That's how important the prayer closet is. Look again. Look at verse 19. Let's look specifically, and we're not going to spend much time here. Look at how Paul wanted these people to pray for him and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. This is what I know is needed in my life. Pray I can do this, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Praise God. Again, there are two ladies that have been here. I mean, how can we forget Pat Taylor? I mean, my soul, she was such an encouragement. Helen Souza went with Ron coming in here. Right, both of them, what a joy. And now, I mean, talking to Helen yesterday, this is it. This is it. I don't know when it is for all of us. It's going to be at different times, or praise God at the rapture. Man, we're all boom, gone. But the point is this, it's coming. We need to be mindful of the fact that one day we're going to stand before God. I said one day we need to be mindful we're all going to be standing before God. Amen. We're going to give account. Oh, that's okay. I prayed a prayer. If that's your attitude, I wouldn't want to be you going into eternity. It's more than praying a prayer. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. When that heart changes, the mouth changes. Okay? People can grow old in the Lord without growing up much, but there's a change that will take place. Look at verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He wants to use the armor that he just spoke about because there is a job to do. A Christian can have all the armor on, but without the life motivation, now please hear me out in this, without the life motivation of a soldier, and that comes through prayer, all he is a display. I'm standing there, look at me. I prayed for the armor, I've got it, it's gleaming, you know, there it is. But if you're not using it, it's like Israel. They had the armor and everything, but they walked away, they did nothing. That is not what we ought to be about. We bring the armor on, defense and offense, the sword of the Spirit, because we need to use it in this day. And the only way it can be used properly is if we go in to the throne of grace by prayer. Prayer is the key. That Greek word that translates prayer is restricted in the New Testament. It means simply this, prayer to God. And it takes cognizance, it takes awareness, understanding of God's power and sufficiency. No wonder, now listen, please hear me. Satan cares little that you're here this morning. He cares little. You might even say, amen. And it's not going to get to him all that much. But if you take God's word and what it's teaching, and you take it to the throne of grace, Satan hits the big red button. We've got a problem. The fact that a child of God is appealing to the Almighty Father is what makes Satan fear. You have got to get that in your head. It's not a thing of wearing a t-shirt that just says Jesus saves, but it's living the life that embraces that and rejoices in it. It's the same thing with you, with all of us. Right now, what is needed is the armor of God animated in somebody who has a passion for this. It was a great time. I tell you, we had a great time this last week. Took our grandson, Caven, down. He's 6'2", going on 9'6". I'm telling you, can't believe he's 18 years old. But he went to 3 classes, and he is so excited. Why? Because God's called him to ministry. He wants to start out as a youth pastor. And by the way, this young man, Giselle's friend, his name is Luke. Great young man. Just has a passion for God. I love that. You go to a college like that, and you know, we're impressed. We rejoice in it. But that ought to be a situation with every one of us. Well, preacher, you just haven't motivated us properly. Is the Holy Spirit here? See, this is why we need to go into the prayer closet. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, here's my will. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I think that includes this place. On earth, as it is in heaven. Now, when's the last time we had a desire like that? Lord, whatever it is, this day. Lord, I'll wait till tomorrow to pray about tomorrow. But right now, Lord, what's your will for me today? Question, if you're listening to God's word, what's God's word telling you? That's key. Prayer gives us the power and the strength to wear the armor that God gives, that we just studied. and then to use this sword effectively. That's what we need. There are people that take the word of God and they'll use it, but they'll use it out of context. They'll trim it, they'll cut it to meet what they want. That's not what we want. We want the whole Bible for the whole individual to preach the whole counsel of God. Prayer, again, is not mentioned in the armor. It's not another weapon. It is a life force. It is what takes the armor and the individual that's wearing it and brings them to life. That's what is needed. You know, it's hard. How many of you look around at your nation and it breaks your heart? Amen? You know, I feel like that verse out of Lamentations where Jeremiah said, all ye that pass by, you know, is this nothing to you? I ache because we literally have millions of people in this nation that don't recognize what they have. Everybody needs to take a trip, maybe once in their life, to a restricted nation. To a place where if they lived their Christian life there, they could be thrown in jail. Now, it's getting to where all you have to do is cross the Canadian border. But it's getting to where, you know, we're restricted here. Folks, they're mocking us. I've heard them. They are mocking us in so-called news programs that we actually believe that our rights come from God. By the way, our rights come from God, not government. If you start believing that our rights come from government, you've just made God government. And they can't wait for people to recognize that. People are being prepared to exchange freedom for security, and they're working on it feverishly. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take this to the throne of grace instead. So notice again, verse 18, praying always, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Well, how can we do that? Listen, that is a mindset. That is an absolute mindset, where you can commune and do commune freely at a moment's notice with the God that loves you and is in you. That's what that means. Take it to the Lord. We all have things moment by moment we need to take to the Lord. When somebody brings someone to your mind that's in need, what do? Take it to the Lord. When there's a situation that happens, when you're praying about something in your life. Look, I mentioned that we've been here 33 years. I guarantee you, I look at this body in the mirror and I know, I can tell you for a fact, I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but this body is not going to be here in another 33 years. It ain't gonna happen. It might not be here in another 10 years. I don't know. The point is this. You know, we get to this point and things change. By God's grace, I desire to see this church go on. I am so looking forward to the help that Antonio is going to bring. But we need to continue no matter who is here. There are people out there that need the Jesus that we preach in here. There might even be somebody in here that needs the Jesus that we preach in here, because salvation is needed now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We are to be God-conscious people. Now, some people might say, well, you know, I've been at this for a while. Well, praise God for that. Don't quit. I put in my time. No, you haven't. You're still breathing. You haven't put in all your time yet. Amen? Amen. You stop and consider. How many of you in the last 24 hours have been tempted with fear? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you in the last 24 hours have been tempted with anger? Okay. Come on, Tony, you got to raise your hand because you got. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just, brother, I'm dropping. I'm setting that aside, brother. How many of you, in the last 24 hours, Satan came along and said, "You've got better things to do." See, this is a warfare, folks. The news is talking about the Middle East. I look at the Middle East, and you know what I see? Bible. That's what it's all about. But it's also other situations. The situations that we see with people and marriages falling apart, when people need to understand that marriage is also a gift from God. We need to catch that. By the way, if you're happy, remember that song, you know, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. You know, when I said you're dismissed, I didn't mean it. You're all here still, right? Okay. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, and your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
See, that wasn't hard. Okay, everybody come on up. We're going to sing it for the camera. I'm just kidding. To all that God is. Now, you're probably like me. You're a little slow in catching something. Let me repeat that. All that God is available to the man or the woman who is available to all that God is. Is our God a God of love? Are you available? Is a God of power? Are you available? I mean, we could go on and on. He went through something in his life. He was rejoicing in the Lord and serving him, but he was dying. He was dying spiritually, emotionally, physically, because he was doing it all in the flesh. And the Lord showed him. One day it came to him when he was reading Colossians 3. Christ, who is our life. Now, did you catch that? We have a new heart. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was just talking to somebody. I'm not going to say who it was, but I was reminded of what my mom said when she was here. Whoever talked about, you know, old age being the golden years had no idea what they were talking about. I think the laughter kind of tells, you know. But you know, there is something about getting older. There is such a blessing to be thinking more and more about what God has called you to and what God has done in you. I catch that. I want to catch it more. With Ian Thomas, this guy, he realized this is all about God. This is all about Christ. Go to Romans 8, would you please? Some of you are falling asleep on me. I got to wake you up. Go to Romans 8. Now, look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, I'm emphasizing prayer right now, okay? I'm emphasizing prayer. But we've got to recognize something. How many of you have ever gone to prayer and you have been thoroughly frustrated with yourself? You know, it's like, Lord, I got these doubts coming into my mind, and Lord, I'm not sure exactly how to pray. And Lord, I just need help. Look again, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our frailties. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Wow, Paul, that's a strong statement. Yeah, but it's right. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I want to quote you something from Spurgeon, then I've got something I want to give myself. What a mercy it is that the Holy Spirit knows all things and moves us to ask for what is best. Wait on the Spirit for his guidance. Then we shall go in unto the King with an acceptable petition. I think there's times we're not going to know exactly what to pray for. We're just going to go, Lord, help. There's a good prayer. Two words, Lord, help. I believe verse 27 teaches this. The Holy Spirit is there, and he knows the situation. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says to God the Father, I think I know what is needed here. I mean, you know, I'm being kind of silly with it, but God knows what we need. He knows what we need. Are you convinced of that? See, in this thing called life, it's not just getting older. It's sometimes drifting. And that's not good. There's a fellow, a young man, I'm not going to get into it right now, but a young man, Bill Borden, who spent his young adult life preaching to thousands and thousands of teenagers. And he asked them this, are you drifting or are you steering? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you drifting or are you steering? If we're just kind of drifting along and, well, whatever, we're going to get whatever. But if we are steering, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's steering. You're going to wind up in the right harbor. You're going to end up exactly where God wants you. It's possible to pray fervently. I mean pray fervently in your own strength and never get through to the Lord because you've been praying selfishly. Lord, help me to make millions of dollars in this job. That's not always the best thing. Not at all. James tells us in James 4, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I was having trouble with my truck. You know what my answer was? You know, there's a new truck sitting over there, you know, and it's for sale. It's only going for $67,000. Now, I can't sell a kidney because I've already lost one. No, but you see, we get like this. It goes with our relationships. It goes with our desires, our lusts. And he says, you know, you wind up asking amiss. Listen, I praise God for the wife that I have. I rejoice. I don't know how happy she is all the time, but I'm, you know, I praise God for it. But she wasn't on my radar. I'm glad God changed that. I'm glad he did. So you got to ask yourself, you know, like David, Psalm 66, you know, I got to recognize this, Lord. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that's a good thing. What drives our prayers? We got to ask ourselves, what drives our prayers? Is it pride? Is it yearning for an easy life? You know, hurkle durkle. How about revenge? Lord, that guy that just cut me off in the traffic, Lord, smite him, hip and thigh. You know, in precatory prayers, you know, may his engine blow up, may his tires go flat, you know, whatever. We don't want that. But we do want this. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, I'm almost done, but please hang in there with me. Y'all here still? I'm so glad you didn't listen to me when I said you're dismissed. Like I said, the medication will be here Tuesday. My wife will make sure I'm taking it. Everything that God does in the work of ministry, everything he does in the work of the ministry, he does through prayer. That's why you see that you're the early church, and from there on, them praying. They prayed and sent people. They prayed and God gave victory. They prayed and people's bands were loosed. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You submit yourself to the God. You go to the throne of grace. That's how you defeat the devil. You get wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, James chapter 1, let him ask of God that, oh, by the way, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How many of you need God's wisdom? We all do. A backslider gets restored. Again, book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Literally, has much force. You make sure that the righteousness of God is important in your life. Yeah, but you know, No. You make sure. And then you pray. And in God's time, you'll see great and mighty things that we know not. But right now, Faith Baptist needs to learn once again how to pray. And I mean pray. We're not put in this situation in the year 2024 so we can look around and go, oh my, look at the nation, when's Jesus coming? No, oh my, Lord, thy will be done right here in me, in these walls right here. God, we bring our sins to you. Lord, may the fellowship be restored. God, help us. We are here for a purpose. How many of you are breathing? Who gives you breath? Why did God give you the breath today? And if he gives it to you tomorrow, why? Because thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah, but Lord, I've got needs. God knows our needs. He knows them. That's why we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. I keep getting away from my notes. I got to get back to them. How do we accomplish the impossible? Mark 11. This is Bible. It's in your Bible because it's in my Bible. For verily I say unto you, verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How in the world can that be? And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. One of the greatest lies of Satan is that we don't have enough time to pray. We've got to pray. And I mean every one of us. You know, I'm just not all that comfortable with it. Are you comfortable with talking to somebody else? If you can talk to people, if you can talk to yourself, you can talk to God. You talk to God when you ask him to save you. Keep talking. Lord, I'm going to do what I can to read in this book about prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote this, God has of his own motion placed himself under the law of prayer and has obligated himself to answer the prayers of men. I think that's a great observation. R.A. Torrey wrote this, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Paul said, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word watching literally means to be attentive, ready, alert. There's the phrase here, watching and praying. That phrase is used in 16 verses in the Bible, one of which is this in Nehemiah 4. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. Perseverance, from the Greek root word, which means to stick with something. Don't quit. Don't quit. The Lord used the same words in Mark 13. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Listen, we are to, according to that word that's there, watching. We're to lie sleepless, as it were. How many of you have ever had a hard time going to sleep? I did last night. You know, that's a great time to pray. If you can't sleep, pray. Talk to the Lord. Well, I did that in the morning. Hey, guess what? You can pray at night too. And it's a great time to pray. Pray. But I found myself, keep praying for myself. Pray for yourself. But then stop and think about the people that are having difficulties. About a young lady here whose husband is with the Lord now. That's rough. Two ladies getting ready to step into eternity. People here who have those that are close to them, they don't know if they're really truly born again. You know something? Eternity lasts forever. We want to know where people are going. Watching and praying. Here we go. Watching cites the enemy. Praying fights the enemy. I'd love to say that's original with me, but I can't. Bottom line, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, number one, is something that we're all involved in. Number two, it's serious business. Satan is serious. We can see it all around us. Well, you know, I like to get into the happy places and, you know, like going to Disneyland. You know, at Disneyland, they arrested 35 employees that were involved in wickedness when it comes to children. You know why? Perverts go to where the children are. That's why, if you've got Nickelodeon, cancel it. They're up to here in it. And get rid of this stuff. Yeah, but there's cute shows there. No, they're not. I don't want to trust the world today for anything. This is serious. Satan is serious about it. Well, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. Bottom line, and I'm done. Satan fears. Satan fears the simple fact that a needy child of God, like us, we go to the throne of grace. How many of us are willing right now to say, you know what, Lord? I feel awkward at it sometimes, and Lord, I have to admit, I forget, I get inconsistent, we're all there. But we need to pray. How many of you are willing to say, Pastor, I am willing to kick it up a couple of notches and take my prayer life more serious from now on? Raise your hand.